You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 1518.
Find somebody in your own backyard that's been doing it longer, that's willing to kind of take you under their wing, learn the market with them, let them walk the properties with you. You know, basically, that's what I did. I jumped right in and I found somebody in my local market and we clicked really well.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Welcome to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast, America's number one podcast for new real estate investors, where we know that finding discounted property is the most proven path to financial freedom. I am your host, Brent Daniels, Mr. TTP, Mr. Talk to People, and I am telling you this right now with complete certainty that if I can do this business, so can you. So let's get started. On today's podcast, we're going to be having a discussion about active versus passive income. And we're going to go through real life examples. Not only that, but I'm going to give you some perspective on what true passive income looks like from real estate, from my 20 years experience. But to really like add to this, to put the story to active versus passive, I've got out of South Haven, Michigan, Sherry Lash. Sherry, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So you started wholesaling in what year? March of 2021. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And since then, you've done how many deals? How many wholesale deals?
I think almost up to 60.
60 deals.
Yeah.
Awesome. And are you full-time, part-time? Like, what does that look like?
I am full-time. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been full-time?
Since March of 21.
Okay, got it. So how did that happen? I mean, you were just in a place in life that you could just commit 100% to your real estate goals?
Yeah, so lucky enough, I have a husband that's a very great supporter. And, you know, 7 years ago, I wanted to jump out of the corporate world and become something of myself as I seen him as a successful contractor. And I'm like, I want to do something on my own.
Yeah.
And so I opened a background screening business back in 6 years ago. And then when COVID hit, it was, you know, we all got to pivot, as we say, when times get hard. So I decided to pivot into real estate at that point in time and jumped all in that as well. I guess I'm a jump all in person.
I know you are. That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is. I mean, we talk about it all the time. It's about massive imperfect action. I mean, that's the whole start of it. That builds the momentum in finding the best deals in whatever marketplace that you're looking at. Is you have to go and you have to find people that want to sell their properties, and then you gotta make them offers. And we'll talk about all the different kinds of techniques you have for making offers. So you started in 2021 doing what? When you say that you like jumped in 100%, what does that mean?
I took a masterclass and I learned different aspects of passive income, active income, and it made sense at that point. And then, so I hired a mentor because, you know, to do it on your own, it's going to take three times twice as long, right?
Sure.
So I hired a mentor and jumped into it. And, you know, he kind of taught to work in your own market. And I believe that to be true, because when new wholesalers or investors reach out to me, that's the first thing I tell them. I'm like, find somebody in your own backyard that's been doing it longer, that's willing to kind of take you under their wing, learn the market with them, let them walk the properties with you. You know, basically, that's what I did. I jumped right in and I found somebody in my local market and we clicked really well. You know, during the mentorship program, you know, we were taught direct to seller. That's what I've always done is direct to seller, and gave me some programs and, you know, said, pull your tired landlord list, your absentees, the easiest list to work, right, is the absentee owner and tired landlords. So that's kind of what I did, was I started pulling lists and he started walking the properties. And, you know, at that time he had the buyer's list and I didn't, because I was still building it and we JV'd, and we still continue to do deals to this day. Not as many, And that's kind of where I got started. I just jumped all in. And
for somebody that has just stumbled upon real estate investing in this podcast, what does absentee owners and tired landlords mean?
Absentee owners is they don't live there. A lot of them are.
So give me an example, like
an example of an absentee owner.
Yeah.
Somebody that owns a property that lives in Arizona is an absentee owner, you know?
They own a property in Michigan, but they don't live there.
Correct. Or they could. I mean, they could. Or they, you know, they live in a city away, you know, or a lot of them here, actually, because I'm in a resort town along the lake. A lot of them are second homeowners that you find. So, you know, sometimes depending on the market, you got to be a little bit precise on where you market, because a lot of them could be your second homeowners that aren't really looking to sell. And, yep. You know, tired landlords, there's a lot of them around here. They've owned properties for 10, 20 years and they're ready to get out of the game. Sometimes they don't know they're ready to get out of the game until you reach out to them and you're like, hey, and they're kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm getting a little tired of this property. You know, what can you offer me? And then you go from there. So.
And then how are you reaching out to them? What's your favorite lead generation or marketing channel?
My channels? My favorite's been launch control, text messaging.
Yep.
When I started out, you know, I've done a little bit of cold calling. I don't like it. So I lean more towards text messaging. And, you know, you get a lot more response, I think, with text messaging for me anyways, because I'll read a text message, but sometimes I won't answer a phone call if I don't know who it is. But if you shoot me a text message, I'm going to read it.
I love it. And anything going on with the carriers blocking the text, any ebb and flow in your experience with text message marketing?
Yeah, back in October when it hit us all, you know, and launch controls kind of straightened out a little bit. And then, you know, through my personal CRM, I pull a little bit lesser niche list and I'll market that way. And as long as you're staying compliant, you know, although all the keywords you can't use, that's how it outreaches. So it's definitely slowed down, as you know.
Yeah.
But it's still there. So.
And then speak to the audience about hiring VAs to do your text message marketing for you.
Oh, pick them wisely and make sure that you're keeping up with them. You know, I hired a VA and I followed a process that a sub-2 student had on how he hired his VA. And I did all that. I think it was onlinejobsph.com.
Yep.
And I specified, you know, what I wanted them to actually do. But my fault was I wasn't keeping track or training her like I should have. And it cost me time and money for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the number one thing, and we talked about this off air, was critical thinking skills. If you can get an American that lives abroad, there's a ton of companies that can provide that for you. We love callmotivatedsellers.com, callmotivatedsellers.com. Mm-hmm. They're phenomenal, and they don't charge as much for the people that'll be texting as the people that are making calls. They're both are phenomenal services, but they're Americans living abroad, and they just have those critical thinking skills, and they really understand the market, and they really understand how to respond to people. And we saw a dramatic increase in the return on investment going from somebody that's, you know, a $4 an hour to a $12 to $15 an hour person that is just an expatriate. They live abroad. They show up. They do a great job. The return on investment was huge. But you transitioned back to doing it yourself?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What do you think the difference is? Honestly, like, do you have magic words that you communicate with people? Do you get them on the phone faster after they're, you know, opening up in the conversation? Like, what's the secret sauce there between you and a VA?
Sometimes it's understanding the way they're texting back or talking to communicate a little bit better. Because, you know, what could have been a deal or, you know, what looked to be a deal, they just pass on. But when you look back at the conversations that they had, there was different questions that I would have asked them to engage them more and get them on a phone call versus just, are you looking to sell your property? You know, and they answer something and she just passes on it. She just passed on it. So a lot of it is just learning, you know, when you're out of the country, your communication skills, just they're not like us. You know, I'm not being any kind of way, but
yeah,
you know, just maybe engaging a different way to get them on a phone call or seeing if they're really, you know, kind of looking to sell. When I look back at the conversations, I was like, well, I would have answered it like this and probably engaged them into a phone call that could have possibly been a deal.
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing, right? And you mentioned it before. If you're going to hire somebody to be doing your calls or your texting or any part, you need to have, at least for your first 6 weeks, I would prefer 12 weeks. And this is what I coach everybody is, make sure that you're having a 15-minute conversation every single day, reviewing the conversations they had the day before, going 80% really positive and 20% work on these things, right? And if you keep telling them, listen, I would have said this or say this next time, say this next time, say this next time, they're just not getting it naturally. That's when you know you need to replace them with somebody that maybe has more skills in that role. That's really what helps you determine whether or not this person's going to be the right fit long-term for your business. It's just pour into them 15, 20 minutes every single morning before they get going with their shift. And that really helps, whether they're a caller or a texter. Really, really, really critical. So make sure that you go back and review what's happening. It's not a set it and forget it, because I think that's really the toughest part, Sherry, is we go, okay, well, I'm going to load them up with great data. I'm going to load them up and train them every day. And then I'm going to let them loose and I'm going to focus on converting all these leads into signed agreements. So we're focused over here. We kind of let the marketing machine run by itself and then it runs off the rails.
Yeah, you know, especially after interviewing them and they're supposed to be trained in the text messaging, you know, one certain way. And like you said, I did that too late.
Yeah.
And it cost me, what I say, three, four months worth of deals last year.
Yep.
And that's honest truth right there. It cost me time and cost me money and cost me deals. So.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Got it. So you were doing... You were working corporate, then you were doing background screening business, but you always had an interest in real estate. You were talking about, I mean, your husband is a contractor, right?
Yeah.
This feels like, you know, hand in glove here. So was there always the plan to do this? Like you're raising the kids, right? You got a couple grown children.
Yeah, they're grown now. Yep. My daughter's getting married. Yep.
Awesome. Congratulations. That's awesome. And, but like when they were like little, were you like, you know, someday I'm going to get into real estate, or is this something that you found later?
No, I found it later. And, you know, it's weird. I'll tell you a story. So my dad passed away going on 10 years and his house was old, still had knob and tube. We ended up having some issues with the house and it's in Illinois. So we closed up the house. I'm getting to a point with this.
Yeah.
So we closed out the house and because it was in the wintertime, was almost right before Thanksgiving. And I told my husband, I said, let's just close up the house and we'll deal with it in the spring. Like, do we want to fix it? You know, so I guess 10 years ago, I was kind of thinking, what do I do with it? Because it's bought and paid for. You know, do we rehab it? And it was in January, I called and had the water turned off at the street because it was wintertime. I didn't want nothing to happen. So it was like late January. It was like a sunny Sunday. And I told my husband, I said, let's pop down there and just, you know, check out the house. And we pull in the driveway and I said, why is there frost all over the windows? He's like, oh crap. We get in there and there's just water pouring and pouring into the house. And this is on a Sunday. We call the city. Long story short, I'm like, I'm done with this. There was other issues that I'm not going to go into before that. But after that, I was like, I am done with this house. And come to find out, as I look back when I got into wholesaling, I believe I got wholesaled on that house because I got rid of it for probably a lot less than I needed to with all the work that it was done. So when I look back at that, you know, I was like, man, I think I got wholesaled on that. And I should have got into real estate then with that house, but I didn't. And, you know, years later, here we are. So maybe I had a little inclination to get my first rental at that point, but took a different direction. And then, you know, real estate was the thing in 21. So
that's really interesting. So was your dad's house in the same town as where you live?
No. So I'm originally from Illinois.
Right.
And this was a house in Burbank that like I was raised in. He's always
had. So this is a totally different state. So you just wanted the speed and convenience that a cash as is offer provides.
Yep.
I think they did the same thing with my grandparents' house that my dad was raised in, because it was a dated house. I mean, it didn't have the water damage and the old school. Well, it might have had the old school electric. I don't know. But they just sold it to a cash investor and were done with it because the family didn't want to deal with it. Nobody was around to fix it up. Nobody was going to go in and manage all of the contractors and pick everything out and go through the whole process, let alone put money into it as a collective family. So they're just, you know what, let's sell it as is to somebody that's going to fix it up. They did a great job. They went and fixed it up, sold it to a family. Family's still there, apparently, according to my cousins. But this happens every single day. And the reason I bring that up is every single day, people are inheriting properties. Every single day, landlords, their last tenant that they ever want to deal with is leaving the house. You know what I mean? The vacant property that's been sitting for a while, it's been a second home for years and years and years that just doesn't get traveled to anymore because of life changes. People just want to sell them and not put in significant investment. And that's another thing that we'll talk about, Sherry, as we transition to more of passive income. But the active income, it comes from wholesaling and flipping. That's where you're finding a great opportunity. You're either investing into that property and flipping it, or you're finding that opportunity and you're giving it to somebody else that wants to put the investment into it and getting paid a fee for finding a great deal. And that's how we start building the momentum to be able to put into passive income. And I always said, you know, step number one is, and you mentioned it, Sherry, is like find your tribe. Find your group of people, find your community, find that local mentor, the meetup, the whatever it is, whatever it's like you feel connected to, make sure that you jump into that, because that is so critical to be around people that are doing this business, especially if you're not surrounded by a bunch of real estate entrepreneurs. So definitely, if you need that foundation, that experience, go and find that. That's step number one. Step number two is do your first deal. Right? You're going to be working off of faith. And once you cross that bridge from faith to fact, the day, the second, the instant that you make your first dollar in real estate, you know that you can do it. That is such an important day and such an incredible feeling. And then from there, you start replacing your income so you can fire your boss. And then you start replacing yourself because you got consistency and you start firing yourself. And then it really allows you to go out and buy some really great investment properties or cherry pick the investment properties that you come across because you've got an incredible lead generation machine. And then you get into long-term wealth building and passive income. But I'm going to bang on passive income pretty big here. I want to use your story to see if what I say is the most common or if you're in a unique position. So Sherry, let's break down your deal that you just closed with 0% interest rate on a property. Is it in Michigan?
Yep.
Okay, let's break it down. I'll let you break it down.
30 minutes for me.
Okay, so how'd you get a property that you're paying 0% interest on?
So it was direct to seller, entire landlord list. Maybe it was absentee owner because he's from Illinois. Okay. Anyways, text messaging, he had two properties. One was sitting vacant, one was tenant occupied. Through conversation, you know, we talked about the property. I went and looked at them and, you know, I just brought up the opportunity on what he thought about. I just brought it up, really. Yeah, I just said, hey, are you open to selling me this on terms? And he's like, well, what are you thinking about? And I said, well, let me back up, because it was either we ended up negotiating either, and I picked up this property for, it was $25,000.
Okay. Yep.
Or in terms. So I said, well, what are you looking at for terms? And he's like from Illinois. He didn't really need the cash. And I went into the whole thing, you know, what did I go into? You know, not getting your capital gain taxes right away. You're going to be selling two.
Spacing it out.
Yeah. You're going to be selling two properties now. So you're going to be hit with the taxes. And he was open to that. And maybe it was 22, I'm trying to think, maybe it was 22 cash
mm-hmm.
and 25 on terms. So So I have a friend within the sub two community that was getting into seller financing, kind of niching out in that as I was going through this deal. So he kind of helped me through that. But, I said, how do we negotiate that? We gave him the interest rate. So he wanted 2.5% interest rate. He was good with a 10-year term with a 7-year balloon.
Okay.
And he wanted 2.5% interest. And I went into, we got to put this much into the property. Then I need to get it cash flowing. I said, what if we take that 2.5%, that interest rate, and I put it on the back end? So you're still going to get it, but I'm getting a lesser payment in the front to fix that up and get it cash flowing. So that's kind of how we negotiated the 0% interest, is I'm basically paying him the interest on the back end and not monthly.
So a deferred interest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so what does this look like? Did this property need a lot of work? Did you have to put a bunch of money into it?
We put about $16,000 into it. So it was like sweat equity with my husband.
Did you have to put a down payment?
Yes. I put $5,000 down on it. And then we negotiated a 10-year term with a 7-year balloon. So it ended up being, I'm paying $185 a month on this property. And it's a 1938 two-bedroom, one bath, has a upper just kind of living area. It didn't need a lot. And that's probably why I really wanted this property, because it was one of the better ones that I've looked at through my time, which is really why I went into the seller finance deal, because that's the only way I was going to be able to buy this property. And it was, it only needed like $15,000 worth of work. So it wasn't a whole lot. It still had the old kitchen that was the covers are built into the wall. And so we put 15, we did a kitchen, a bathroom, repainted it, all new windows. My husband did windows in it. So we got it, we put like $16,000 into it to get it rent ready. And I'm cash flowing on it like $585 a month right now after all expenses.
So your payment on it is $185. And what's rent?
A thousand. Yeah.
And then, so you are getting how much?
My cash flow?
Yeah.
$585.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So $585. Mm-hmm. And then that is, let's call that $7,000 a year. Yeah, about that. So you're getting about $7,000 in passive cash flow a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got 21 into it with your down payment and the fix-up costs, right?
Yes.
So you're getting all your money back out if it stays rented in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this on a 7-year balloon. Then you're going to have to owe the deferred interest. But now that you fixed it up, what do you think it's worth?
So one down the block, it's in a not good area. So not a lot of the houses are selling. They're more rentals. But the one down the block here sold last year for $95,000.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's where it's at right there. Cause you're into it, you're into it about $41,000 with the 16 that you bought it for 25. You got 16 in, you're going to have some deferred interest rate on it. So let's just say you're going to be into this $50,000, but the thing is worth $90,000, which is excellent. And then after year three, you've got all your money back out of it. So now you're working with house money, which is absolutely incredible. Now there's going to be some turnover, right? You had turnover in year two.
Yeah.
Took you a couple months because you really wanted to make sure that you got the right tenant in there.
Yeah.
But that only cost you $185 each month.
Yeah, I had to put a furnace in it, which I knew eventually I was going to have to do that. Trim some trees. The gutters keep getting full and I'm like, I got to trim some of these trees. So we've done tree trimming and I just had it power washed. I want to see, because it's metal instead of like the vinyl siding. So I just had it power washed yesterday. I want to see what it looks like, whether we're going to paint the house or if we're going to put vinyl siding. The one side of the house needs to be redone like completely off and re-insulated. So I don't know where we're going to go from here, but I'm still value adding basically the house.
Yeah.
As I can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's an older house. I mean, you're going to constantly be putting that in there. That's why, the passive cash flow that we, how much was the boiler, by the way?
4,200.
4,200. So that eats up a lot of your cash flow for 1 year.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is what people think, and this is what's really, really important. Something that Sherry's really smart about is just because she's getting passive income doesn't mean that she's living off of the passive income, right? You're just keeping that money. You're kind of putting it, for the most part, with single family houses, you're putting that money back into that house. You are, especially if it's an older house. You're putting it in. There's always going to be something. There's always going to be, when you turn over property, the average is $2,300 for carpet and paint and upgrading appliances and whatever else, wear and tear that happens to a property. So guys, don't fall in love with the idea that you get a bunch of single family houses, you live off of the passive cash flow and you're retired. No. You got to get those things paid off and then get massive cash flow. And then You can eventually, if you have enough doors, live off of it and live wonderfully off of it. But most of the time, it's for long-term wealth building. It's not for really living off of the passive cash flow. The passive cash flow just keeps your property up to date so that you can continue to get appreciation, continue to get, you know, the higher prices in the neighborhood. So that's the beauty of real estate, is because we've got active on one side where we can get all of this incredible big time checks with wholesale and flips, but then also we can put it into assets that long term are going to appreciate. We can continuously upgrade those properties so that we get top dollar when the time comes if we want to sell them.
You know, it's funny you say that, because my daughter was just over here. We're doing some wedding planning this morning. And I was talking about how I'm working, you know, and she's like, keep working. That's my retirement. And I said, your retirement is going to be an asset. It ain't going to be in cash.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
She's like, well, I'm like, you can sell it all, you know, but I said, yeah, my retirement is going to be an asset.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I love it. Sherry, awesome. So how can people get a hold of you? How can people connect with you? They just, they listen to this podcast and they want to say congratulations, or maybe they're in your area, or maybe they just want to learn from you and your experience. How can people get a hold of you?
So you can call, text 269-214-0697. Hit me up on Facebook. Sherry Siska Lash is my name on there. Instagram is sherry.lash. You know, you can look at me on Facebook. I have a calendar link that I do a lot of people for a 30-minute consultation, not really consultation, meet and greet, whatever, you know, just
helping out.
Yeah, just
about to awesome.
Get started, you know, and just if you want to reach out and talk real estate, which I do all the time, it's, you know, it's become like second nature.
Yeah. Well, you're phenomenal. I mean, every month in the Rhino Tribe, we give out something called the Golden Rhino Award, which is just somebody that's in the group and they're really connecting, really helping people out, really encouraging and letting everybody know. And Sherry won last, well-deserved last month. And we just love you in the Rhino Tribe. We're so happy that you're a part of it. And thank you for pouring into so many people. I mean, so many people are texting me and saying how amazing you are. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I love to see people excel and get good in this business, but you got to stay consistent. I tell them too. You got to stay consistent. It took me 4 months to get my first deal when I started. And I was hammering it all the time, and I didn't get discouraged with the 50 no's or the F you's or whatever.
Yeah.
You hear, you know, all that crazy stuff. You just got to brush it off and keep moving, and it'll come. You just got to put the time and be consistent, and it'll happen.
Awesome. Guys, definitely check out Sherry. Facebook, that's probably the best way to get a hold of Sherry. And also, she just gave you her phone number, which is crazy, but she did it anyway because she's a wild
one. My business number, not so, personal.
Yeah, it's out there now. So, Sherry, thank you for jumping in here, talking about passive versus active and sharing your story. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And for everybody else out there, if you're interested in putting together a very custom blueprint based around four main factors, whenever you're getting into real estate, you got to look at these four factors. Number one is, what does your schedule look like? Number two is, what's your budget for this business? Number three, what's your experience level? And number four, what market are you in? What we do is, if you go to wholesalinginc.com and apply for a call there, we're going to take a look at all of those things and put together a custom blueprint so that you know that you're going out there and you are taking taking action in the right way. You're not just spinning circles trying to figure this out all yourself. So I encourage you and invite you to go to wholesalinginc.com and apply now for that call. It'll be the best call ever. You're going to have so much fun. We've got just an incredible team there to have a conversation with you. And if you do decide to join the Rhino Tribe, I look forward to working with you personally. And that's it for our podcast. I am Brent Daniels, Mr. TTP, encouraging you as always to go out there and talk to people. Till next time, guys. Love you. See ya.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.